What's up, y'all? This is Letitia, you know, from As I Grow Podcast, and do I have some news for you. As I Grow just joined forces with Stitcher. It's a family affair, y'all. The Stitcher is the place where you can listen to some of your favorite shows ad-free with their Stitcher Premium. Shows like Conan O'Brien, He's a Friend, My Favorite Murder, Wolverine, The Last Trial, Bitch Sesh, The Fantasy Footballers for all my football heads out there, Science Rules with the awesome Bill Nye, and so much more. Oh, and it gets better. You can also get access to Stitcher Originals, their bonus episodes, comedy albums, and more. Now, all of that just for $4.99 a month or $34.99 a year. Oh, peep this. And when you use the code As I Grow, you will get a month free. So go ahead and go to stitcher.com/premium and sign up today. Oh, don't forget to tell them As I Grow sent you. Peace.
We're live.
All right. What's up, world? As you know, this is Letitia, and I'm the creator and host of As I Grow Podcast. And you already know I like to start off by stating and acknowledging what I am grateful for. And today, I am grateful for, it's so much, but I guess true relationships, understanding, it's so many things, and I'm just going to put it out there. I'm also grateful for being human, as I was just speaking to my new friend, Mr. Jonathan Lockhart, who has a podcast as well called Cry Baby Sleep. So, hi, Jonathan, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? This is awesome. this will be really good.
Yes. Yes. So Jonathan and I, we actually met through having podcasts. So we met there and we have similar interests in what's going on today. So we just literally was having a conversation and we was wondering if people were human because of some of the stuff that was going on. It's because they haven't been talking about it, right, Jonathan? Before we move forward, can you tell where are you from? I know you're pretty far from
currently I live in Sydney, Australia. So that's where I'm recording from today, in my little side room inside of my apartment here. So yeah, Sydney, Australia. I've been here now for about I'll say 60-40. I'll say 60-40. You know what
I'll
I mean?
Say
60. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Where it's like I don't want to completely throw Sydney under the bus. You know what I'm saying? But also at the same time, it's like the longer that I've been here as like, you know, as a quote unquote so-called person of color, I've seen some very, yeah.
Australia. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing, not to like, you know, completely like, you know what I mean? Like it started into this tangent too hard. But again, this is so funny. I was just having dinner, with a friend of my girlfriend, like a coworker of hers, and she's indigenous, she's aboriginal. Okay. And I'm friends with her nephew, okay? And her nephew is an activist, okay? And they come from this very tiny town called Barraville, okay? And out in Barraville, there's like this whole thing, it's been going on since the 90s. There's like this, it's complicated, but there's like this murder case. You know what I mean? Where it's like three
'90s.
Yeah, where it's like these three young indigenous people. One was a guy and two girls. Were all murdered by the same guy. They caught the freaking guy, and then you know what I mean. He got off on one case. They tried to try to two as the other. You know, they tried to two the two together. He got off on the other two. So now they're pushing for the Supreme Court to try all three at the same time. You know what I mean? Because, you know, there's like that whole thing of like double jeopardy. You know what I mean? Right. So you can't get tried for the same thing twice. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, can we try them all three together? You know? And she was saying to us last night that it's like put this horrible storm cloud over the town. You know what I mean? Where it's like they live in this tiny town. And then it's like you go to the local grocery store and it's like, gee, are you the one who killed my auntie? Are you the one who killed my cousin? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like, we were sitting down having dinner. I was like, oh my God. Wow, you know what I mean? And it's like, dude, this—that's like the history of like, you know, of this nation.
Sound,
you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, this nation in general.
Yeah, Yeah, and the United States as well. You know what I mean?
Oh man, United States. What a nation, right? What a place.
Yeah, it's so-called nation indeed.
Yeah, like together united, right? It's just so I just don't understand. And what I don't understand is I hear so much talk about sports. NFL this, NFL that. What team is, who got hurt this, what's going on there. It's just everything NFL, which I don't even watch anymore. And I trained myself to do so because I was part of that movement when it first opened up with Cap. And, you know, it takes some time, especially when you really were, I was really into football because I'm American. Even though they don't believe I am because of the color of my skin, but I am, you know, so.
Yeah.
But everything with practice, it comes. After a while, I could care less about football. I don't even watch it, right?
Yeah.
But I heard more about that, Jonathan, than I heard about, and you and I both was like, oh, this, we got to talk about this. But remember we mentioned those three kids that were shot? Yeah. That's the article you want to touch on it?
I have it here on my desktop here. It's on ebony.com. It's a community outraged after police shoot three children in the head. And then there's a quote from the mother. My four-year-old daughter was shot in the head and she has a bullet in her brain. Yeah.
Oh my
and my gosh. Five-year-old has a skull fracture. And this was in May of this year.
I'm getting chills now. My son is five. You know what I mean? My oldest is five. Like, and my children are everything to me. I have two. I couldn't imagine a phone call like that or a knock on the door with that information, you know? And then it's supposed it's common, but you didn't hear about this. I accidentally ran across this article. Accidentally. I don't even know what I was doing, but I seen this like a community outrage. Three children, you know, like, wait, why am I just hearing about this? And that was like, what, how long ago was that?
Well, the article says that this happened in May,
but when did we find out? That was like, when did
I found out about this. Oh my goodness gracious, this has had to only have been like, I don't even think it was a whole month ago.
No,
you know what I mean? I started seeing it on Facebook because it was like academics and other people that I follow, like on Twitter or on Facebook, I posted about it. I had no idea that this thing had even happened. I was like,
and I found out last week. Was it last week?
Oh.
Yeah, when I text you with it. Yeah, it was last week. And I'm like, what?
That's even worse. Yes. That means this thing kind of like barely bubbled to the surface and then just out of people's timelines and out of sight.
And those babies, I don't even know what the outcome of them, but you know. I know one was, I believe it said it was in like critical. And then the whole thing was, it's like they didn't stop. The person didn't stop, but the police were in plain clothing. Mm-hmm. So running towards the guy, running towards the car with guns. I wouldn't have stopped either. You know what I mean? Like my kid's in the back. You coming towards me with guns. I don't know about the area here, but I'm in New Jersey in the States, right? Like I'm close to Newark. If I was in Newark, you running to my car with plain clothes and guns, I'm driving forward too.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I'm kicking it in the third, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? My kids are in the back. Man, it's time for me to go. We gotta go. You know?
Yes. So, man, but it happens so much, and I know you've worked with so many different groups, and you in a part of so many groups.
Yeah.
Enough is enough. What can we? I don't know why people aren't fed up, but what can we do? Like, I don't. I forget the marching. I'm sorry.
I hear what you're saying. Again, this is so funny. I was having this conversation, you know, I was saying with, you know, my girlfriend's coworker last night, because they're getting ready to have another march, you know what I mean, to make sure that the Supreme Court and the high courts here in Australia do the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I hated to be that same voice. You know what I'm saying? I hated to be that same voice where I was like, man, we got to take it back to the old school. She was like, what do you mean? I was like, before you're in high school, before the 90s school, like the 60s, 70s school. And she was like, what do you mean by that? And I was like, look, you know, we go out, we protest, and like, it's still within this I'm trying to think of the best way. It's still in the government framework. You know what I mean? You still got to get your permits. The police are going to be out there watching you every step, right? And then when it comes 12 o'clock, they want you to hightail it and get back in your car, go to the parking lot and go home, right? And I was like, that part of it's done. We can't keep looking at this stuff like it's, you know what I mean? Like people get paid off of activism, you know what I mean? And we need to have people that, you know what I mean? Like I said, like back in the day, you know, 60s, 70s style old school, where it's like it comes 12 o'clock and then everybody out there knows we're not moving at 12 o'clock.
We're not moving.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's like the same deal. There's like this group that I'm involved in here in Australia. And it's really funny because Black Lives Matter came down here right when I got here. And there's this case surrounding this one boy, this Aboriginal boy named David Dungay, who was killed in detention, okay? And literally, like, get this, okay? The whole David Dungay case, all right, was the fact that he had, like, a biscuit, like a diabetic cookie in his cell after, you know, after mealtime or whatever in the prison. And as opposed to just...
Hi, this is Jerry Wicker of the Savvy Beach Bums Podcast, and you're listening to my good friend, Letitia, on the As I Grow Podcast, a positive and uplifting member of the Inspire Network of Independent Podcasters. Prepare to be inspired.
Being like, you know what I mean? Put the cookie down, right? They sent in like a riot extraction team to get him over the cookie.
Over a freaking cookie.
And then same deal, just like what happened with Eric Garner. Guess what happened? Choked him to death. You know what I mean? And I've been going to like the federal inquest, you know, when the coroners come out, the medical examiners and that extraction team and the doctors that try to revive him. I've been there for the whole thing, you know, since I've gotten here, like I said, a few years ago until now. And it's about to close here in the next month. And I said the same thing to the activist group here. I was like, man, just showing up and, you know what I mean, just sitting in hushed tones and like writing tweets isn't gonna do anything anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, what do we need? I was like, man, I got an idea. Why don't we get that picture of David and we project it onto the side of that lawyer's office every day until the end of this case is about to close, so that lawyer's gotta call up and be like, we need more security. Why? Like, oh, because we've been dragging this dead boy's name through the mud for the last two and a half years. You know what I mean? We need something else. We need them to show how abhorrent and terrible that they are to us as a people. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
What, do you think that'll work if we show a brown or black person's deceased body? Because they're quick to do that. And the reason why the reason why is because it does something to us. It caused trauma, you know. So yes, if you ever notice, like if a white person gets killed on TV, it's a big case. They never show their For instance, Nicole Simpson, and other guy that got killed. You never seen their bodies. You never seen their lifeless bodies. When Trayvon was killed, we saw it all over. You know what I mean? Like, they do that purposely. Like, that's why they used to hang us from trees, so you could see it and know, like, you're less of a person to us. This is what we'll do to you, you know, in a sense. That's a point of control. So I don't know about that hanging his lifeless, the picture of him on the side of the lawyer's office going to do any well. But finding a picture of a white person that died from that same, you know, same type of death.
They would absolutely do something if it was like little Chad or little Brad or something like that. And you know what I mean, like he ended up with some brain trauma and getting whacked or smacked by a police officer. You know what I mean? And some family, you know, some family from out in the suburbs came in and was like, we want justice for our son, you know, little Brandon or whatever. You see what I'm saying? It would move them, you know what I mean?
It was
my idea is just mostly just the thing is that the only reason that that's come across my mind is that a lot of folks here are like, how do we get our message like outside of the confines of like Australia? Because we're so removed from everything down here. You know what I mean? It's very far. So I always get a lot of questions of like, how do we get international recognition for what's going on here? You know what I'm saying? And it's to make them, all I'm really trying to say with that example is we have to make them look as we got to kick the carpet up, basically. You know what I mean? We got to show all the dust and the roaches up underneath it, you know?
Yeah, well, then, okay, I agree with you totally with that part then. Yeah. Yes, you have to make it known internationally. Right. Well, I totally agree. Right. It's so much, man. I remember, you know what? I think they're getting away with these murders because there's some things that need to be changed. And I don't know what. We have to demand more. I know you haven't watched it, but Killer Mike, I'm gonna quote him on something. Like, I know you haven't watched it, and I should have just followed my first mind and sent you that link. But it was a debate, pretty much in the beginning, right? It was TI, the Revolt Summit. So they're going back and forth about Trump, right?
Oh boy.
Yeah, exactly, right. So, of course, you know, the lady Candace was all for Trump, and another lady there was all for Trump, that she really didn't say much. And then they talking about other people, just going back and forth, Democratic Party and Trump. So Killer Mike was like, you know what this sound likes to me? Who has the better master? That's straight up truth. I think we need to do what he said. And I said this before hearing him say this, right? Like, I think we need to just demand stuff. Like, I remember reading about Malcolm X was like, look, you need to free this man or else, you know what I mean? It came with a whole group of people in front of the police station. This is what you're going to do, you know, and demanded stuff. So I think we need to kind of like take it there. Like, look, you're going to meet these demands that we have. We need to change these laws because this, you have the right to kill us and get away with it pretty much because how you feel is too broad. That right there is too broad. That's the reason why the cops are getting over. And they getting over. Like Philando Castile, he was the perfect person. You know what I mean?
Prime example. Had did everything. Did everything that the officer still, and then still ended up murdered.
Still ended up murdered, and not only murdered, guess what? The cops did not get charged for his murder.
Yep.
Free. Why? Because he felt he was in fear of his life, and that's what the law states. You know what I mean? So we need to change some narratives, come together and demand some stuff, and if they can't meet those demands, I ain't rocking with you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
Yeah. It's true. I agree with that. This is so funny because it's like there's two things that I wanted to touch on within there, right? Where it's like, well, one thing I thought was really fascinating that you were talking about, where it's like, you know, like we were saying, like with David Dungay, you know, Philando Castile, Trayvon, and so on, right? There was this article that I was just reading recently. I do a bit of like, my girlfriend's an academic, you know, just full disclosure, right? So it's like I have like a lot of academic access to like cases and studies and papers and stuff like that, you know.
Awesome.
So, you know, she lets me use her logins and stuff like that every once in a rare while, right? Where it's like if I want to check out a book or there's some case study I want to look at, right? And there was this one that just came up recently. It's an older paper though, but it's jam-packed. I have to send it to you. It's a great PDF. It is a bit lengthy though, just fair warning. It's like 22 pages, so I had to sit with it for a few days to read it, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And yeah, it's like, it's the whole aspect of the paper is like medicalizing deaths and police custody. Okay. And this person, she's like a social theorist, right? You know, race scholar. And she's talking about how, like how we were saying with Philando Castile, and then again with like David Dungay, where these court cases, right, they end up becoming like medicalized, right? Where it's like, these federal courts, right, the examiners and stuff, they go through everything about your life, right? What you used to eat, what kind of medical problems you used to have, did you have a broken toe, did you wear glasses, etc., and so on, right? And then once they find out all that information about you, what do? They medicalize your death, right? It wasn't the bullet, it wasn't the five bullets they put into Philando Castile, it was his bad heart. It was his diabetes. He was doing 35 and a 45 and so on. They medicalize your death.
Like right? Sandra Bland. It wasn't the fact that you slammed my head into a concrete, but the fact that I lost a child many years ago. So I was suffering through depression and I killed myself because many, many years ago, in a cell that I lost it. Just something they said. I don't even remember the BS they said about her, but I know she supposed to have killed herself in the cell.
Yeah, exactly.
Full of crap.
Again, this is really funny because it's the same deal. I had just wrote an article. This is so funny because it's like there's these two cases that are kind of going on right now, and they both have shadows of what happened with Sandra Bland, right? One was the passing of this indigenous woman named Rebecca Marr. I wrote an article about it for this this far lefty paper called Green Left. But same deal, I went to every day at an inquest. I was there with the families and doing all this stuff, right? It was harrowing. It was absolutely harrowing. And yeah, same deal. Rebecca Marr, she had a drug problem. Okay. And she was like out with like some family friend of hers. You know, I don't want to get into the complete specifics, but yeah, she was out with a family friend. She got stopped by the police, right? But then here's the thing, there was no charge whatsoever, right? But here's the thing where it's like if somebody is on drugs, right? If they're on heroin, meth, they're drunk, right? What's the first thing that you should do if you're planning on arresting them? You should probably call an ambulance, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nah. Like I said, medicalizing the death. No, she's fine. There's nothing wrong with her. Everything's all right. She was in the midst of an overdose.
Gosh.
You know what I mean? So it's like basically they put this woman inside of a cell, and then basically that's where she lived her last moments, was inside of this cell. And then same deal, blamed it on everything else other than the fact that all this dude had to do was get on his little radio and be like, hey, we're going to come have an ambulance come out here in a second before I put these handcuffs on you and take you. You see what I'm saying? Right. And then same deal. Now there's this new case that's going on, right?
What's up, man? It's your boy Make Do coming in from that 260, by the way, 912, coming in here to show my cousin some love. Big ups to the podcast you got going up. I salute, baby girl. Keep doing your thing. Hold your head up. You already know what it is. Yeah.
Now in Australia, it's like the case of this woman, Tanya Day, okay? Same deal. Bunch of racist people. On a train, she's like had a few drinks, she was out with like girlfriends, okay? And same deal, somebody on the train had called the police, they apprehended her, right? But she was actually she was like pretty intoxicated, right? So it was like everything that was happening was sort of like in this spin with her, right?
Yeah,
they put her, yeah, and then they put her inside of the cell, okay? Like, you know, one of those, like, you know, oh, you're gonna sober up in your cell, right? But mm-hmm. She was pretty intoxicated. Yeah. But she was highly intoxicated, okay? So they had, like, the bubble camera, you know, up in the corner of the cell, right? And then she falls over, like, multiple... Same deal with, like, Sandra. She falls over multiple times inside of the cell. Like, multiple times, like, cracking her head on the sidewalk, you know, like, inside the cell. Mm-hmm. She cracks her head on the side of the bed, you know what I mean? Because she's drunk. She shouldn't have been in there just by herself. The police that was supposed to be watching over her, here's the greatest part. They were at a Christmas party.
What? So she was in there by herself? Like, literally?
Yeah, so she, she was like in there, like, oh, she's just, you know what I mean? She's supposed to be down there sleeping it off. Do you see what I'm saying? I was like, oh my Lord, help me, Jesus. So everybody has been pretty upset about, like, you know what I mean? Once the tape came out and then, finally, like I said, like, because like I said, she took a couple of serious spills, and then one of the last ones was like ended up giving her the brain hemorrhage, which, you know, led to her passing. And once that came out, and then once they brought the officers onto the stand and they were like, what the heck were you guys doing? You were supposed to be watching her this whole time. You know, she was supposed to have checks every 25 to 30 minutes, because like if you're intoxicated, you got to get permission from a sober person in order to check their blood and do all this other stuff. You know what I mean? It's all basically, it's a guesstimate until a nurse can see you. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they're like, why did none of that happen? It's like, oh, Christmas party? I was like, oh my gosh. You guys thought your like white elephant and your secret Santa was more important than this woman? I was like, yo, man, this is why I was saying like 60-40 about like when you were like, ah, Australia. I was like, yeah. I was like, if you're like a black person here, you're still facing some stuff. You know,
crazy. I thought it was.
Yeah, everybody thinks it's beaches and sunshine. You know what I mean?
I thought it was way better than here. You know, like but sometimes I guess it's not.
Yeah, grass is always greener, right? Grass is always greener. Yeah, precisely. You know what I'm saying? I used to think the same thing when I got there. I was like, oh man, it's gonna be great. I'm gonna take my shoes off. I'm gonna be running down the beach. It's gonna be beautiful. And now I'm like, revolution now. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Oh man. Yeah. I don't know. I think something that we're about to embark on something. I believe that. I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. Everything has a divine purpose in life. I don't know. And you know what? I really do have to keep in mind that my timing is always not, it's not the perfect timing. I want something to happen right now, Jonathan. I'm like, yo, this needs to stop right now. We need to wake the heck up. But perfect timing doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel like it's perfect timing. It feels like you're really late, right? So hopefully one day that we can, I hope to see it. Like do you see a little bit of change, or is it, or am I just being hopeful? Or do you see it's a teeny bit?
Yeah, again, like I said, that's so fascinating that you should, you know what I mean, you should pose that question, because I sit a lot with that. I sit with, like, you know, like an air of pessimism, like you were saying, like, you know, coming from the United States and coming here, I'm always like, oh man, is this, like, how is this gonna, you know what I mean? They're dealing with it, we're dealing with it, how do we, you know what I mean? But the more that I've become, this is, I guess, you know, like I said, like as like a, this is what I was saying, as like a far lefty, my big deal is always call to action. Call to action, right? Yeah. And the more that I've been realizing so many different things are wrong about the world and the quote-unquote society that we live in, right? The more that I've been seeing people getting off the couch, the more I've been seeing people getting off of social media and, like, being in the streets with people and, like, talking and congregating. And you really actually do get this feeling of, like, man, we're a lot different than our parents' generation. We're a lot different than that 90s generation. You know what I mean? Right. And we've been handed like a hard basket, as the Aussies like to say, it's a hard basket. But you know what I mean? Hey, I guess that's just like our spiritual, path in life. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? To make really concerted changes, you know, not just for our children, but our children's future. You know what I mean? Right. And yeah, I do see it. I see it out there every time. Like I said, man, you should see the videos. Once the video came out of like Tanya falling over in the cell, it was just like Sandra Bland. It was like overnight, boom, hundreds of people was out in front of the courthouse.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I was impacted by that, because you know what I saw when I saw Sandra Bland, and I'm pretty sure it's the same with Tanya. Well, you know what I saw when I saw Sandra Bland getting pulled over by the cop and getting asked to get out of her car because of her cigarette? I saw myself. Exactly. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I used to smoke cigarettes, you know, before children. That could have been me. You know, I saw myself, and I'm not putting my cigarette out. It's my damn car. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not blowing it in your face. I'm not putting the ashes on your shoe. It's my car. Like, what you pull me over for? That's how I felt. I saw myself, and I'm like, yo, if I wasn't woke, if I wasn't, and then I felt like, and I was active. I'm still am, even with being a single mom of two. I still try to do my part, do what I can, right? And I was then too, because of Trayvon. I was very into it. But then when I seen her, I'm like, I don't think I'm doing enough. Let me get back out, you know? So like, cause that could be me for real.
And, exactly.
And I lived in the South at that time too. So crazy.
I totally hear what you're saying 110%, because same deal. Like, this is so funny, because it's like, I guess you can say I've been having this, not to make it too like existential, you know, but I guess I've been having this reckoning with myself over my what's the word I'm looking for, over like my like adverse childhood experiences. I've basically been having like a one-on-one with myself, like, you know what I mean, about like my child self, like on the inside, you know what I mean? And yeah, same deal. I had like a similar case as like what happened, because like I said, I'm from Ohio. I grew up in Ohio.
Okay.
It's funny, because like the two cases, you know, two of the biggest, you know, over the last few years, mirrored what happened to me as a kid. You know, when I'm talking about Tamir Rice
and John Crawford.
I was literally walking around in our suburb with a squirt gun. A woman in her home called 911 and said, I was 12, okay? Said that it was a full-grown black man walking around in people's backyards with a gun.
It's the same age as Tamir. How old was Tamir?
I think Tamir was a little bit younger. I think he 11? Might have been... Yeah, I think he was like 9. Yeah, I think he was like 10 or 11, yeah.
And he was in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. And he was in Ohio, but he was Northern Ohio. I'm from Southern Ohio. So when I saw that, same deal. I was like, yo, that could have been me. Exactly. It literally could have been me. I remember because the whole thing was really wild because it was like, this is the other funny part. It was like the thing that like saved me was that I was getting ready to meet up with some friends of mine. And they were like white friends of mine. Okay. We were going to a comic book store. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we met up in this park. I had the squirt gun. Right, we go out to walk out on the lane, and there's the police with guns drawn. Right, and you know, between me and you, I think it's the fact that I was hanging out with those white kids that's like what saved me. You know what yeah. I mean? Otherwise, yeah. It just would have been like bang, bang, bang. Oh my God, he's 12.
It's exactly you know what I mean? What it did save me. What's up, y'all? This is Letitia, you know, from As I Grow Podcast, and do I have some news for you. As I Grow just joined forces with Stitcher. It's a family affair, y'all. The Stitcher is the place where you can listen to some of your favorite shows ad-free with their Stitcher Premium. Shows like Conan O'Brien, He's a Friend, My Favorite Murder, Wolverine, The Last Trial, Bitch Sesh, The Fantasy Footballers for all my football heads out there, Science Rules with the awesome Bill Nye, and so much more. Oh, and it gets better. You can also get access to Stitcher Originals, their bonus episodes, comedy albums, and more. Now, all of that just for $4.99 a month or $34.99 a year. Oh, peep this. And when you use the code ASIGROW, you will get a month free. So go ahead and go to stitcher.com/premium and sign up today. Oh, don't forget to tell them As I Grow sent you. Peace.